Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Man, it's great to be here. You guys are blessed tonight. Sandra Lee's here tonight. She loves it. She said, now, Bill, make sure when you get up, you introduce me so I can stand up and wave to everybody. So I did. Doesn't it sound just like her, Scott? She wants the spotlight all the time. And the Gibsons are here from Kentucky. You're supposed to stand when I say the Gibsons from Kentucky. And the third one. Yeah, she's used to that drill. She's a preacher's kid, and she knows that she's open game. And I don't know what Gibb was talking about there tonight. A couple of those things were errant, but I've always been in control. Everything tonight is very scripted, okay? And I'm going to stick to the script. Write this down. The way I do anything is the way I do everything. The world is looking for us to be consistent. The world's looking for us to be who we proclaim to be as Christians. Any Christians in here tonight? Yeah. Hey, is there anybody in here tonight that your life's not right with God? That you're here tonight, you just need to get your life right with God. Can you just wave to me, okay? I don't want to embarrass, yeah, here, come here, I want to pray with you. What's your name, son? Come here, what's your name? Hi, Brian, I'm Bill. Can I pray with you?
Of course.
God, I just thank you for Brian, God, that you're, pray with me, will you, Brian? Father God, I give you my life. I make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. I'm trusting you, God. I'm manning up tonight. I'm being who you've called me to be. From now on, period. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Brian. Now, listen, this hit me that Sandy and I say this more than she does, but I believe she agrees with me, but the way you do anything is the way you do everything. There's a parallel in our lives between parenting and pastoring. Okay, Taylor's here in the front row, or he was. Cassie's in the front row, and, you know, Brooklyn's watching from Philadelphia, New Jersey, and Kennedy's somewhere running something, bossing somebody around, and everybody's laughing. But I can't get up and do what God's called me to do and be somebody I'm not, or be somebody that's different than who I normally am. I've just got to be me, okay? Because at the end of the day, I don't want to take a hat off and put another hat on and wear it. No. You'll never see me wear a Cubs hat because I hate the Cubs, okay? I'm not a Cubs guy. I'm a Cardinal guy because I love God, because I'm a Christian, okay? Christian people love the Cardinals, okay? Other people, the whole idea is, but other things like that. But the bottom line is my life's like that as well. And there's a parallel between parenting and pastoring. But listen, I want you might say, well, but I'm not a pastor, okay? But you're a minister, and the minister we have is the ministry of reconciliation. In the last 3 weeks on Sundays, I taught about the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. How many of you guys were here for those? Okay, if you weren't, I'm sure you can get them on the internet somewhere. But the idea of this is that God's about retrieving lost things. Okay, so don't think that something's just out of your reach, or don't think that the dynamics of what just happened. Because see, our faith is we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth. Okay, so our faith, what ties up our faith is that it's verbal. What Brian just did, let me just tell you, it's going to be life-changing. He's going to be driving home and going, did that sucker just come over here and grab me by the hand? He made me pray with him in front of all those people. It's like, yes. Okay, because the bottom line is that this is real, and God's going to show himself real and alive in Brian's life, and anybody's life in here that, listen, does the same thing. And you might say, well, but But you kind of put him on the spot. You're doggone right I did. Are you kidding me? I don't see how this works without putting people on the spot. See, this word that we preach is divisive. Man, it's cutting. It's offensive. See, there's people that will say, man, people don't have a problem with Jesus. They got a problem with the people who represent Jesus. How many of you guys have heard that? See, I don't even think that's the case. I think people have a problem with us saying Jesus is the only way. That's really where the rubber meets the road of the offense that the world has with Christianity, that there's only one way to God, and his name is Jesus. We're not all praying to the same God. Man, we're not all serving the same God. That none of that's true. None of that's in the Word. Man, God got up and said, look, there's one God. I'm him. Quit looking around for others. And see, that's how we have to look at this. So I want to give you guys some tools because it's Easter week. Okay? And really, if I guess to make it even a little bit weightier is some weapons. So that so that from Wednesday through this Sunday, and I believe we carry it beyond Sunday, but at least because it's Easter week, because very few people are going to say, nah, no, people are going to go to church this weekend. Well, you know something? I believe we get people in this room, we can help them. I believe that if we can get people in here, that lives will be changed. How many of you guys have had your life changed in this room? Can I see your hands waving? See what I mean? My life's been changed here. Man, what God's done here is just, it's amazing. Pastor Jeff Perry from St. Louis Family Church called me right before church tonight. Man, I pick up the phone. He's praying in the Spirit for like 5 minutes. I'm praying in the Spirit with him. And the next thing you know, he starts talking to me about our 25th anniversary service and almost went word for word verbatim what I talked about that day. I'm like, oh my gosh. And I'm being reminded of what I said that day. But why? Because he said, that day changed my life. I'm like, wow, here's a guy that pastors an incredible church in Chesterfield, Missouri. Man, been a Christian a long time. Was a mentor of mine early on when I was a brand new Christian. Man, I just followed him around. I saw him praying with people. I prayed with people. People would say, man, can you pray for my marriage? I'm like, no, go talk to that guy over there. He's married. I don't know anything about marriage. I don't know what the Bible says about marriage. I just know that if Jesus isn't Lord of your life, you're liable to go to hell, and you don't want to do that, so pray, and we'll believe God that Jesus has become Lord of your life. And that, I mean, that's all I had. Okay, I had one bullet, all right? So it's like, pow, and then I had to put it back in, and it's like, okay, pow, and had to reload, and pow, and now I'm an automatic weapon, man. I mean, my switch is on go, okay? But the thing is, okay, four quick points, okay, tonight, just to arm you, just so that you have tools. But listen, you've got to be like Brian. Everybody say, hey, Brian. Yeah. You got to be like Brian, because tonight, you've got to take that step. He took a step. Man, he's never going to forget me now. This was an impact in his life. See, because leadership's about a transfer of emotion. That became emotional. How many of you guys got emotional when he prayed with me? Why? So listen, that's because this hits us exactly where and who we are. Okay, so number one, we've got to pray. Number one, you go, oh yeah, come on. No, I'm telling you, get up about 5 minutes early in the morning and just pray for 5 or 10 minutes. Well, I'm not sure how to. I get it. The disciples said, Jesus, teach us to pray. Man, I'll tell you, you could begin to just with the Lord's Prayer. Everyone here knows it. Our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be your name. And you know what? Pause a little bit and change the inflection of your voice and make a put a demand on the presence of God with it. Because let me tell you, they're not questions. Man, they're professions of faith. You give me this day. Today I get my daily bread, God. And I'm thankful for that bread. And God, you'll not withhold any good thing from me because, God, I'm putting you first today. Man, you just pray like that for 5 minutes in the morning. I'm telling you, the atmosphere of your life shifts. So you pray in the Spirit and you pray with your understanding. And you'll say, well, I don't know that I pray in the Spirit. Okay, here, let me help you. Say, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to pray in the Spirit, and then begin to pray, but not in your intellect. It'll sound like baby talk. It'll sound like gibberish. If the Bible says unfruitful to your mind will go, you're goofy. And it's like, I know. But I'll tell you what, Pastor Jeff Perry started praying in the Spirit on the phone. And guess what? I'm praying with him. I'm not going to let him lap me. I'm praying, he's praying, I'm praying faster, he's praying fast, I'm praying louder, he's praying louder. We're competing. There's a prize. Man, and we've got to understand that. So we pray. And that's, look at, just read 1 Corinthians 14. And Paul just said, look, man, in a public assembly, it's unfruitful for you to pray in the Spirit. But he said, I pray in the Spirit more than all of you. Okay? So number one, we pray. Number two, we profess the word. And this is huge. The profession of our faith. That's where the dynamics of this is. See, the Bible, how many of you guys own a Bible? The Bible has a certain power to it. Okay? But let me just tell you, the supernatural nature of God comes into play when our vocal cords express God's word, when it comes out of our mouth. See, that's what we have to understand. So we profess the word. The Bible says preach the word in season and out of season. Man, preach the word. Be ready. Man, ready yourself. How do you, what is he saying? It's preparation. Let me just tell you, this life, this lucky life that we have with God, that everything we put our hand to prospers, let me tell you, if our definition of luck is that we prepare for opportunities in front of us, man, God's gonna give us that opportunity. And you know what we do? Man, we ready ourselves for that opportunity. How many opportunities did you miss today? How many opportunities have you missed this week? How many opportunities have you missed in the last year? Just because you weren't prepared. See, what the word does, the word prepares your heart and prepares your life for opportunity that God has in front of you. And all our life is a big dadgum open door that God gives us. Man, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. But listen, the Bible says, speak to that mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and don't receive any doubt in your heart. You have whatever you say. That's Mark the 11th chapter. But listen to the B side of 2 Corinthians 4:2. It says, convince, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and teaching. Listen, when I first read this, I thought, okay, I've got to convince and rebuke and exhort. And I'm thinking about transferring this to other people. And that's not what Paul was talking about to Timothy. He was talking about to himself, to his circumstance, to his situations. See, you look that situation in the eye, you look at that financial situation, you look at that relational situation that's in your life, and you know what? You speak to it. How do you speak to it? You convincingly. Man, you rebuke it. Let me tell you what that rebuke is. It's public humiliation. That, you know what you do? You take that financial struggle that you, I mean, you guys are struggling financially. Let me see your hands. You take that financial struggle, and you know what you do? Man, you lift it up and off its feet, and you put it up against the wall, and you say, let me tell you, I'm taking authority over you right now in the name of Jesus. That's what a rebuke is. The Bible says that Jesus rebuked the enemy in hell. He made public humiliation of the devil in hell. He stripped him of his armor, and he took the keys to death in the grave. He left him naked and powerless and humiliated. How many of you guys are ready to humiliate the poverty that's operative in your life? How many of you guys are ready to humiliate the uncleanness or the lust or the greed or the pride or whatever it is that's in your life that you humiliate? I don't want to just slap it around. Man, I'm telling you, I'm ready to put it on the deck and put my boot to its forehead. And that's what the Bible says. And that's how we profess the word. Let me just tell you, I'll just be transparent with you. Most of the time that I preach, that I profess the word in my life personally, it's to do damage to darkness. It's aggressive. It's violent. Man, when I pray for Pastor Sandy, when I pray for my children, when I pray for you, when I pray for this church, man, let me just tell you something. Man, I know that the weapons of my warfare aren't carnal, but mighty unto God. Everybody say mighty unto God. For the pulling down of strongholds. Man, some of you guys might have strongholds in your life. You might have a stronghold in your life right now. Guess what? I'm going to preach to pull that dadgum stronghold down. And I'm not playing. The devil doesn't get to win. Write that down. The devil does not get to win. And you'll say, yeah, but he's beat me in the past. Look, how many guys want good news about the tail whipping the devil has given you in the past? Anybody want any good news about that? He's got to repay what he's taken from you seven times back. Let me just tell you, that turned into a great investment, what he took from you. See, but we've got to understand that. So number one, we have to pray. Number two, we preach the word, or we profess the word. We stand on God's promise. See, the problem is that we're not convinced about the promise of God. And we're going to find his promise and then stand on it and take a stand. And let me just tell you what. This is who I'm married to. Sandy's going to take a stand on God's promise and then take on all comers. Doesn't matter. And there's been situations in our life, there's been twice, that might have been that a life depended upon it. She and I got together. Both times in my memory, she would probably confirm this, we're nose to nose. And she's, Bill, we are not caving on this. That is never coming out of our mouth. I take authority over, we're taking authority over this right here and right now in Jesus' name. Guess, let me explain something to you. This is Easter week. The world's going to hell. And I think loving every minute of it, getting duped into it. And this week, people are going to comply with your invitation. Most people aren't going to be able to say no to you by coming to church. Man, we saw, Taylor and I were at a meeting today, and there were these three gals, and then one of them said, oh, yeah, you're the preacher from Guts. Man, I've been thinking about visiting. I said, you might as well visit this week. It's Easter. And she goes, oh, yeah, you're right. It is Easter. She said, what time are your services? I said, 9:30, 11. She goes, well, I better come to the 11. Man, somebody says that. I'm thinking, let me just tell you something. There's just been a bullseye put on your heart. Why would somebody want to come later? Well, because it might be out late the night before. Might be dragging when they're coming in. God, I just thank you for hungover people here Easter Sunday morning. God, I thank you that we call from the north, south, east, and west in the name of Jesus. And God, I thank you people on a bender Saturday night got their butts sitting in this church on Sunday morning in Jesus' name. And everybody said? Number three, now we've got to be led by the Spirit, not by the flesh. So much of what we do is just flesh. It's just, oh my gosh. And that's simply, let me just tell you, God's not going to anoint our flesh. His presence is going to be on our flesh. Our flesh is dying. The Bible says that daily. Our flesh is growing weaker and weaker and dying every day. God doesn't attach himself to things that are dying or dead. Man, he attaches himself to the part of us that's alive, and that's the part that's alive unto him, and that's our spirit. We've got to be led by our spirit now. So what's our spirit sound like? Our spirit sounds like God's word. Man, there's been too many people, too many generations of people that'll get up and say, man, God told me to move to China. God told me to move to Africa. Why? God's called me to win millions in Africa. It's like, how many people have you won in Tulsa? If you've won one, I think I can buy in. But it just becomes the flesh. It just becomes something that it might be good to say. It might be something that it might make me feel important and add to my significance. Let me tell you, let me just sidebar, okay? This is off my notes. God's word is what's going to add to your significance. Money's not going to add to it. Likes aren't going to add to it. Followers is not going to add to it. God's word is going to add to your significance. And I know everybody in here, man, you want your life to be significant. Man, let me just tell you something. You fill your heart with God's word, you're going to live a significant life. It's going to be amazing for you. And let me tell you, you're going to be led by the Spirit of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. See, this is what's interesting. If I'd ask you, if I'd say, hey, are you led by the Spirit of God? It'd be like, well, it's 50-50. But if you're here and you're a Christian, you're born again by the shed blood of Jesus, if you made Jesus Lord of your life, if that's you, listen, if I said, are you a son of God? You'd say, yes. I know sometimes I don't act like it, but yes, I am. Okay, stop. See, these are the same statement. Being led by the Spirit of God, being the son of God is the same thing. So if you say, yes, I'm a son, sometimes I don't act like it. Yes, I'm led by the Spirit of God. Sometimes I don't act like it. See, so now it shifts the equation a little bit. Now I can fix that part of it. But if I just say, well, I don't know how to be led by the Spirit of God. You're led by the Spirit of God by being a son. Tyler, are you a son of God? Yes, then he's led by the Spirit of God. That's as simple as it is. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Man, you can invert that statement. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Are you a son? Then you're led by the Spirit of God. Are you led by the Spirit of God? Well, that's hard for me. No. It's the same question. It's the same answer. And let me just tell you, if the Word is working in you, and that's what the Word's going to do. See, the Word isn't something that we've just read an opinion or we've just read an equation. Or we just understand the theorem. No, the Word is alive. The Word's powerful. So we think about this, that the Word, I want to speak the Word to an injury that we have or a lack that we have or our kids' disobedience. No, you know what? When we speak the Word, it enriches our hearts. It brings our souls flip toward God. Now the temperature in the room isn't what dictates our lives now. We dictate the temperature. I mean, how many times have you come in here? Man, I'm just up here, I'm thinking, man, Nikki, little intern Nikki is bringing heaven into this room. And there might be five people in here that don't realize it. I'm going to get up and be me. And look, I'm going to make you feel it. This is going to leave a mark. You're going to realize heaven just came in here. See, we're led by the Spirit of God. I'm led by the Spirit of God. I'm led by the Spirit of God. I'm led by the Spirit of God. Why? How can you say that? Because I'm a son. I'm not an orphan anymore. See, you don't, I live this firsthand. My dad adopted me when I was 18 months old. I bear his name. I'm a head taller than him. I go to see him and he's like, I'm proud of my son. This is my son. To everybody that lives around him. Let me tell you, that's God's heart toward you. Dad, gummit, I want you to hear this. Brian, I want you to know that God grafted you in tonight. The same Spirit that raised Christ. Do you believe Jesus rose from the dead? Yeah, the same Spirit that got him out of that grave is in you now. Dad, somebody backhand him. What's going to hold you down now? The grave couldn't keep him. My goodness, Carrie, the grave. Man, the enemy's tried to hold you down, you know what? She just keeps bouncing back. Stand up, Carrie. This is the ever-ready bunny right here. You're not going to stop her. You're not going to get her to quit. She's not going to turn tail and run. Man, oh, but Pastor, I've been through some stuff. Let me tell you something. It's nothing compared to what she's been through. And she's an elder at this church now, and she's sitting on the front row, and she's here at every service. She's got to listen to my old lame stories over and over and over. And guess what? She's carrying her Bible, and she's taking notes. You know what she's doing today? She's praying today. She's praying in the Spirit. She's praying in understanding. She's professing the Word. She's got two sons. A single mama raising two boys. Most of the men in this room can't do a good job raising boys. Yeah, I'm going to call you out. And let me tell you, she's raising boys that love God and are in church. Having to deal with it. Them going through puberty. Hormones coming alive in them. Living in the world in 2018. Their daddy's in heaven, and they're having to deal with that. They deal with it every dadgum day. And here's Carrie, smiling. Somebody is going to have the opportunity and the fortune of a lifetime because she's going to pray for him tonight up here at this altar. And you know what? We just take it for granted. Oh, it's just Carrie. Are you kidding me? Let me tell you, everything I've ever done and will do for God, I'll be fanning her in heaven. I'll be squeezing lemons, making her lemonade and fanning her. Oh, there's no rank in heaven. No, let me tell you, you need to get a tattoo that says, hey, be like Carrie. Do you guys bear witness? Do you guys understand what you feeling me tonight? Man, this is Easter week. We got to be led by the Spirit of God. So what do we got to do? We got to contact people. God, who's out there? Who's out there? I'm going to pick them off, God. I choose to be a sniper for you tonight, this week, God. Who's out there? God, just, I don't care who it is. Put them on my heart. You know what I'm doing? I'm going to contact them. Man, I'm not all tech savvy. Like, you guys could get those videos and those graphics and stuff that the media team here, the beautiful stuff. You know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say, how many seats you need at church? It's Easter, and you better be there. I'm counting on you. Oh, I'll take four. Now I'm going to text somebody. I say, I need four seats. I'll give them the name. Look them up on Facebook. Find out what they look like. I don't know. I don't know what else to tell you. Another picture. Got to contact people. Man, Bob Hurley contacted. Well, there was an Easter. Bob Hurley had 76 guests at our Easter service. Dadgummit, don't tell me you can't do it. Man, we pray. We profess the word. We're led by the Spirit of God. If you're led by the Spirit of God, guess what? We're going to go after lost people. We're going to go after lost stuff. God's about retrieving lost people. That's why he sent Jesus. And then you know what? We invite people. And yeah, you know what? It might sound cheesy, but let me just tell you, how many people today in 2018 get a verbal invitation from somebody to come to church? They'll get texts. They'll get a Facebook message or something, right? But how many people are saying, you know what? God put you on my heart. I know it's awkward, but I want to invite you to church. How many seats you need Sunday? What time of the service is 9:30 and 11? Well, I better come to the 11. Yeah! Another drunk in the kingdom. And then you know what we got to do? And this, I need to, some of you guys, let me just tell you. I know you're not religious. I know there's no scribes and Pharisees here. I know there's no Sadducees here. I know there's no religious folk here. But you know what? We've got to make the first 10 minutes of somebody's experience here at this church, from the time they pull into our parking lot to the time they get in the sanctuary, just incredible. So if you're awkward, God will show you. But let me just tell you, we got to be praying and believing God for the greeting of these people. That first impression, that first 10 minutes, before the music, man, before the message, before the ministry at the end of the service, man, that first 10 minutes has got to hook them. And then we're led by the Spirit of God in how we minister. And I'll just tell you what ministry is. It's just compassion. I have the privilege of getting up here and preaching a couple times a week. And it helps me with what I go through. You guys don't want to hear me get up and say, man, I've been going through hell. It's been really hard. But you know what? Most times it is. But I get to get up and preach the word. I get to get up and take the focus off of my issue and shine the light on for other folk. Here, follow this light. Wherever it goes, I go. You go, I go. It's just compassion. This is a church, we love people here. We love people blowing train horns here. We love, God bless that guy that knows he's going by church and laughing at us right now. God, keep him up tonight, thinking about you tonight, God. Hard boil his easy over eggs tomorrow, God. But it's about compassion. Just receive this prayer tonight. God, I just thank you for a compassion in our hearts for people. That we'll have the word in season for when they're going through something. In Jesus' name. And finally, number four is thorough follow-up. Thorough follow-up. This is huge. This is where the harvest is. The harvest is in the follow-up. And it's simple. It's just simply because we care. Why are we following up? Because we care. Every guest that comes into this service Sunday will get a text or phone call Sunday afternoon. Every one of them. Every one of them are going to get an email video every day for the next 7 days. Just encouraging and hope-filled. And you'll say, well, we don't want to overdo it. I think we have to. People are going to be on their phones and going to be on the internet. We might as well interject what we have to say about God in that time that they're going to be on it. And I'm just telling you, it can't just be kind of a sacerdotal function of what we do as a church. We don't just do it because that's what we're supposed to do. No, we do it because we love God. We do it because we prayed and we profess the word and we've taken a stand of faith on that word and we're led by the Spirit of God. So you know what? We're going to follow up with everybody. I was thinking about a guy that I've grown to love in this church that has a sordid background, and I'm thinking, man, that's a feather in our cap, God, in heaven. That a guy like this can give his life to the Lord. A guy like this can. And he sat right up there in the risers every week. And I thought, I haven't seen him in a while. I got to text him. And God's going to put people like that on your heart. Whomever it is. And we get people in the room, we can help them. If you're here tonight, and you're equipped to help somebody. You may not be able to quote two-thirds of the New Testament. You may not know the over 7,700 promises in God's Word. But you're equipped enough just to help somebody with something that they're going through or some kind of situations in their life. I'd like you to stand right now wherever you are. Just stand. You're equipped just to help somebody with something. I know you're trying to figure it out, but it's easy. It's either yes or no. Yes, I can help somebody. Now I want you to look around the room, and I want you to see the horsepower, the people that are standing that could just help. Let me tell you, the compassion of God come alive in your heart, that help will change somebody's life forever. See, what happened to me is I've had just epiphanies with God. It's like, oh my gosh, this Jesus stuff's real. Why have I been running? What do I do? It's real. He's alive. I remember where I was when God showed me the sanctity of the local church. When I bought into Psalm 92:13, it's like, we just got to get people planted in. We've got to make this church attractional and sticky. You know what we need? We need charismatic leaders. People that other people can connect to. That's why you're standing. You're equipped to help somebody. They could connect with you somehow. And I'll tell you what that somehow is. It's because of your story. And so many people can connect to Pastor Sandy because she's an active listener and she'll connect with your story. See, that's key. We have a forward-based vision in this church, a forward-based cause in this church. We want to be a part of bringing Jesus back. We want to win the world to Jesus. I don't care how many billions there are. And you know something? I'm believing God that this Sunday, we're going to give people something to hope for. leave hope-filled with a target to hope for in their life. They leave better than when they came in. Those three simple things, they win anybody.